today, the World Anti-Doping Agency confirmed that confidential health information about 10 American athletes, as well as athletes from other countries, has been released after a data breach by Russian hackers. Earlier this week, the hackers released records belonging to U.S. gold medal-winning gymnast Simone Biles and tennis stars Venus and Serena Williams. Also this week, former Secretary of State Colin Powell's private emails were hacked and published on a website that some analysts have linked to the Russian government, and more leaked documents from the Democratic National Committee came out. The DNC says that hack was also perpetrated by Russian hackers. Brian Krebs is an independent investigative reporter and the author of KrebsOnSecurity.com. He joins us by Skype. And Brian, why does this keep happening? Why can't the U.S. government or companies and organizations stop these hacks?
Well, I think part of it, the reason is in your question. At the end of the day, a lot of these attacks come down to individuals. A lot of it comes down to actions that individual users take or do not take. For example, lots of companies offer what they call two-factor authentication, which is in addition to your password, they ask you to regurgitate a code that they send via text message or an app on your phone. And this is a really great way of protecting your accounts from getting hacked. But I did interviewed Dropbox's CSO not long ago. They've got 500 million users. He said less than 1% of the users have taken advantage of this security technology, and they've been offering it for 4 years. So there are a lot of things that your average user can do to improve their security. And unfortunately, a lot of times these hacks are the result of the failure to take an action.
So it's the failure to take an action on the part of the individual. And I will say, by the way, as somebody who, you know, like all of us, we now have to, in some cases, deal with these additional measures of security. And they're annoying because you think to yourself, nobody's ever going to hack into my gas bill or whatever it might be. But at the same time, why can't the U.S. go after the hacker after the hack has been done? Can we not hack them back?
Well, we can. The danger is always that there will be unintended consequences, that there will be a cascading effect. We saw this happen when the U.S. and the Israeli government got together to put together that malware that is known as Stuxnet, right? And it was designed to delay or to derail Iran's nuclear ambitions. And it was very successful at doing that, but it spread well beyond Iranian nuclear systems and into U.S. systems and all kinds of other things. So, you know, we have to be very careful about how we consider hacking back, because at the end of the day, what you do is you encourage private companies and individuals to do the same.
Hmm. How would you describe the state of U.S. cybersecurity?
I would say that, you know, it's not very good. We're facing adversaries in countries where they have for a long time placed a tremendous emphasis on educating their populace from a very young age in the sort of skill sets that lend themselves to a mastery of hacking and computer programming. I'm talking about logic, math, and sciences. These are areas where our educational system traditionally does not excel compared to the rest of the world. And also, we have a tendency here to sort of, once we get the security in place, to kind of set it and forget it and hope, just don't touch it, right? Well, the only problem with that is it's hard to find another field that moves faster than cybersecurity. So the defenses that you used a year ago are virtually useless against today's attackers. And if you're not constantly updating those defenses and trying to think more like the people who want to undo all that, then you probably don't know it yet that you're already hacked.
So, Brian Krebs, what should the U.S. be doing? What is the response that should come from the United States?
In this case, unfortunately, a lot of the answers to digging out of this problem comes from taking a longer view. I think we need to really rethink as a country the way that we approach cybercrime, to engage individuals at a much younger age and to target people and to do a better job of encouraging people to get into cybersecurity as a career. Because frankly, one of the biggest problems facing businesses is cybersecurity professionals are just too darn expensive. That's because there's a shortage of them. And so somehow we need to figure out a way to generate more of these professionals here at home. I think one way to do that, the government could do that, is to create a GI Bill for cyber. And I think it would be a very good idea for private industry to be a big part of that.
That's Brian Krebs, author of KrebsOnSecurity.com. Brian, thanks as always.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeremy.